Praise God. I've been on a difficult topic of the last days for these last few weeks. And in this topic, some would say, well, why are you preaching Revelation right now? Well, I believe that, number one, Revelation is part of the Word of God. So we believe the whole Word of God, right? Cover to cover. If it's in there, we believe it. But there are some parts of the Bible that we're not reminded of very often. And part of that is that Jesus is coming again. And so sometimes we get so locked into this life that we think, well, this is all there is to it. But this isn't. This is what's temporary. Our 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years on this earth are temporary. What is permanent is where we spend eternity. And Revelation, sometimes we get into it and we don't understand a lot of what it's saying. And that's why we've been, if you've missed any of the first three parts, it's the website, YouTube, we actually got an app for your smartphone, too, that you can listen to it or watch it. And but if you missed any part of that, you may want to go back and kind of get up to date on where we are. But it's really a word of encouragement for the body of Christ. It's a word of encouragement for Christians that we know, we're reminded of, there is more to this life than what we're experiencing on this earth. So that's the first part of what Jesus is doing. It's not connected to fear or being afraid. The book of Revelation is not in the Word of God to make you fearful. But it is to let us know that Jesus is coming again and we're to be prepared, to be forever prepared. That's the first one. The second one is for us to help others who do not know Jesus Christ so that we can be an influence and be an encouragement by the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, to speak life into them. And life comes where? From Jesus. So that He is our life. And these are the two reasons, I believe, that right now we're living in the last days. We need to be aware that Jesus is coming soon so that we're prepared, so that we're encouraged and happy and excited about a permanent vacation for eternity, right? There's a life to come, and that we can get others together as well, encouraging them to come to Jesus Christ. And so we're talking today about the things that will happen during the tribulation time. Well, why are you talking about that if we're going to be in heaven? Well, there are a couple of reasons for that. We're talking about that so that you're aware of what will happen after we're taken to be with the Lord, after the rapture takes place and we're in heaven, we're rejoicing, those who know Jesus. What will happen after that? We need to be aware of what will happen to that so that we can tell others, you don't want to be here when that happens. I don't want to be here when that happens, and you don't want to be here. So that we're all there together enjoying the presence of God. And so Jesus will send, the rapture will take place as a rescue mission for people that love Him, people that have served Him, people that are currently serving Him, I should say, to take them away out of the situation, I believe, that will be coming through the 7 years of tribulation. Now, I told you a story a few weeks ago about a man that went to the hospital, and he had not served the Lord. His wife had been a Christian. She loved the Lord. She prayed for him. He did not. He was a good man. How many know there are good people that aren't Christians? Those, whether they're good or whether they're in prison for the rest of life, either one, Jesus died for them, and Jesus wants them with Him. And so this particular man became ill and was hospitalized and wasn't doing well at all. And just so happens that he called his wife and said, hey, will you ask your pastor to come see me? So the wife calls the pastor and says, my husband wants to see you. He's not doing well, but he's called and wants to see you. So the pastor gets to the hospital and begins to talk to him. And he said, pastor, I want to give my life to the Lord. So he did. Right there, he gave his life to the Lord. And within days, he passed away. And today he's in heaven. So what matters is that we come to the Lord. We don't know when our time will come, but when our time will come, we're done with this life, and the condition of our heart at that moment will determine where we are in eternity. And so I want to make sure that we are forever ready. Let's not wait till the last minute to get ready, because we don't know when the last minute will be. But if we can be forever ready, we'll be happier, we'll be fulfilled. We can walk around excited and laughing and have peace, as we'll talk about in just a moment, because we're forever ready and we can help others be ready as well. Amen? So in Matthew 24:44, it says this, therefore you also be ready, For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it sheds light to our path, Lord, and without it, we cannot see. But it's, Lord, your word that brings us life and its health and its direction. Thank you for your wisdom today, Lord. Impart to us that we have a heart to hear you, Lord, and to follow after you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We've all had somebody break a promise to us. A promise was made, a promise was broken. It could be that either they couldn't deliver that promise, they weren't capable of delivering that promise to you, or they ignored the fact that they made the promise in the first place and life went on. But every promise in the Word of God, Jesus will keep. There's never been a broken promise by God's Word, and there will never be a broken promise. I want to share with you, before I get into the details of what I want to show you today, and it's a lot, bless your heart in the sound booth, Megan and Andy and Alan. God bless you. There's a lot that they've been doing this morning. Before I get into the details of that, John 16:33 gives us a promise of Jesus. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," this is Jesus speaking, "in me you may have peace." Well, what about all these things you've been talking about? What about all these things to come? In me, you may have peace. In the world, now here's an encouraging word for you. In the world, you will have tribulation. Does that excite anybody? There you go. There's your focus right there. That's refrigerator material. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So our peace is determined on who we're with. We can be with Jesus and receive peace. We can be without Jesus in the world and not have peace. There is no duplication of peace by the world. The world's peace is temporary. The peace of Jesus is permanent. That means that in tribulation that we're promised we'll have, we're also promised in Him we will have peace. Isn't that encouraging? And that's a promise that He keeps. That as we are in Him, as we stay in Jesus, He will give us peace. I love what Miss Deborah said a while ago. She has, in this last week, experienced the worst week of her life. That's a pretty big statement. Has anybody else had a rough week? Okay. Well, amen. And through that, Deborah's here. I'm here. You're here. In the middle of, I don't know what it is, it must be something in the air that has dealt out a rough week this week. But in Him, we have peace. I want to make sure you get that in your foundation this morning before I start this other. Because if we remember that and hold on to this promise that I've just read you, everything else will say, oh, those are interesting details. That's interesting truth from Revelation. We know what's coming. But in Him, I have peace. I believe that the Lord wants to impart to us the greatest experience of excitement, anticipation for these days to come through His Word than we've ever experienced before. Well, how? How can we experience that with just coming out of a rough week and things aren't settled yet, Pastor Mike? Things are still up in the air. Things are still going on. Turmoil is still going. Tribulation and heartache and all these things are still going. In Him, He gives us peace. Jesus is our peace. And Jesus today is letting us know that He is coming back again. The second coming of Jesus Christ will happen. Jesus is coming again. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. We will fly away one day. It could be this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next century. We don't know. We're going to fly away. But Jesus is giving us all the information that we need to be ready, to be prepared, to prepare ourselves and to prepare others around us. Not to live in fear, not to go home and lock the windows and doors and say, oh my goodness, what shall I do? We shall serve the Lord. We shall keep our eyes on Him. We shall have peace. He's giving us the opportunity to make sure that we can correct some things that need to be corrected. As I was studying this week in praying, I was reminded of all those times that my mom counted. Michael Ray, on the count of three. One, two, and before she got to three, I made a correction for what I needed to do before she got to three, because my mama wasn't like some others. This is the 12th time I'm going to count to three. This is the 32nd time I'm going to count to three. No, when my mama said three, you better duck or run if you weren't straight. It was coming. There have been times that I've padded my britches just to pad in the blow that she was about to give me. Mama, I need to go to the bathroom real quick before you do that. I don't know, about three or four pair. And so my mom gave me a couple of chances. She gave me a couple of extra seconds to correct my attitude, my response, to tell her what I was supposed to tell her. What did you do? Well, I didn't want to tell her. Well, you're going to tell me what you did, and then I'll decide what the punishment will be. Man alive. Those were some exciting times. Thank God I made it past alive. So Jesus, in his word, he is so loving. He's so faithful. He's so gracious, so merciful. In that, he's saying, Mike, get things right. Be ready. That's what this word is about. He's wanting us to get ready. He knows that we've got to focus back on him. If we go according to what we want to do or what we are apt to do or our natural setting to do, default, it's probably not going to line up with his plan for our life. And so that's why we need to read the book of Revelation. That's why we need to be familiar with what the Word of God says. What do we need to do to be ready? Today, we're going to talk about the tribulation time and the time of horrific and horrible tribulation that this world will experience. So in Mark 13, 19 and 20, during these last 3.5 years, last Sunday we talked about the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. So last Sunday we covered 3.5 years. Now this Sunday we're talking about 3.5 years. Next Sunday is going to be more exciting. We're building up here. Are y'all with me? Okay, thank you. I don't want to talk to myself. I want to know that y'all are with me in this. Mark 13, 19 and 20 says, "For in those days there will be tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days." And so God's people will be raptured, I believe. Now, there again, you have different opinions of that, but I believe that we will be raptured away as we serve God before this time of tribulation. And so in Revelations, there are judgments that will be poured out on the earth. There are three phases of judgments. There's the seal judgments. It's not the it's not that kind of seal. It's the seal that's rolled up in the scroll. It's the seal judgments, it's the trumpet judgments, and it's the bowl judgments. I'm gonna take you through a quick tour of all these three phases of seven judgments on the earth. But I believe that believers in Jesus Christ, as we are loving him, we are called according to his purpose, we will be with Jesus. So it's to help us get ready and to help us help others to be ready as well. Think of the scrolls as a legal document, as a will or a deed and testament or something like that. So John gives us the details as best he can in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, he talks about the first seal. "Now I saw when the Lamb, Jesus, opened up one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.'" Now, remember last week we talked about the four creatures. These were some wild things that were totally abnormal of what we're used to being seeing or even reading about. So these four creatures we described last week, and so these are the creatures that we're seeing here in verse 2 of chapter 6, Revelation. "And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. This is talking about the Antichrist. There will be probably many small Antichrists leading up to the Antichrist. There's one Antichrist, and it will be what will be pushed will be a one-world government. Now, that sounds good because it's going to bring peace and prosperity, so it's going to be advertised as one-world government. It's going to be a great thing for our society, but it's going to be short-lived because it's not from God. It'll be from the devil. So the Antichrist will rule the world. He'll enforce a one-world government. And the second seal in Revelation 6, going to verses 3 and 4, I'm going to move along, is when he opened at the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. So we see that as war, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. That's what's happening. Jesus also described this time as birthing pains. We know that the closer the birth gets, the more intense the pain. The closer we get to the second coming of Christ, there will be more and more wars. And this leads to the third seal, Revelation 6, 5 and 6. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it, a pair of scales in his hand, and heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for denarius, and three quarts of barley for denarius, and do not harm the oil and the vine." There was a famine. So anytime you see war, any period of time, you also see famine, because crops will be destroyed, be blown up, and people can't get out and be productive and produce. So we see famine coming following the war, which makes supply and demand. If there's less of something, that means the more you pay for it. It becomes very, very expensive. And the fourth seal in verses 7 and 8, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it, this was his name. His name was Death. And Hades followed him. And the power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword. A fourth of the earth. We're talking about 1.8 billion people dead. To kill with a sword, with hunger and death, and by the beasts of the earth. Can you imagine the related problems? Sanitation, illness, disease, all of this going on while 1.8 billion people are killed. And he refers to the wild beasts of the earth. What could that be? There are some wild beasts in our earth, but you know what? Something that's common is rats. Crystal chuckled. I don't like rats. Possibly could be wild beasts. I have an outside cooking area, and one day last week or week before, whenever it was, I thought I'd grill. Hey, we're going to grill some burgers tonight. So I went outside, and I had some tinfoil that I had left from the last grill that I'd done a few days earlier. So I opened up my grill and had the tinfoil in my hand, and little Rocky was out there. He's my little buddy. He was out there checking things out, making sure everything was good for Dad. And so we were out there, and I got the tinfoil, and I have a built-in trash can, so I pulled the trash can out, fixed to drop it in, when something came out and just nearly hit me in the face. And that joker was about that long, not including his tail, and about that big around. And he shot straight up out of that trash can, and I had a shouting good time. It was revival breaking out in Stillwater. We had a real good movement right there, and Rocky thought Dad had already lost his mind. He skirted around, and his ears went up, and he caught something out of the corner of his eye when that rodent took off. And he was the size of a kitten. This was a big joker. And I guess I scared him probably not as much as he scared me, but I scared him too, so he tore out of there. And so when I think about the possibility of rats going everywhere, what I read back in Europe, there was a good portion of the population, 50 million people died in the 14th century. Rats can annihilate people. And can you imagine that being part of what is going on here in these last days? The fifth seal is talked about in verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. These are martyrs, had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And so all the Christians at this time are carried away, but there will be people left on earth that did not serve Jesus. That's why we want everybody to go with us that will go with us, and those that are left, it's kind of like Noah's Ark. Those that are left, there's going to be a price to pay. And so part of that, people will say, oh my goodness, I remember now what was being said on Sunday morning. I remember now what was being said on Monday night, what was being said on Tuesday and Wednesday night, and all these times that we were together. Evidently, they were telling us the truth. And so they have a heart for God and want to serve Jesus. But the difference is then there's no church, and the spirit all around is completely different. There's no church, there's no believers, there's no meeting. And so people will come to the Lord during that time, but they'll not have the encouragement of the church. So it's going to be a very difficult time to serve God during that time. And so anyone left will eventually be martyred for the name of God. It's going to be awful. The sixth seal, Revelation 6, 12 through 16 says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and every island moved out of every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Can we even wrap our mind around that? And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne from the wrath of the Lamb. Havoc, upheaval on the whole earth. And then seventh seal of judgment, Revelation 8:1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about a half hour. All of heaven was in shock. All that had happened, it says heaven was in silence for a half hour as the seventh seal was dealt. And the next, it talks about the trumpet judgments in Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 to 5. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake, like a global storm, the first of ever, a global storm. And with all this, you've got to realize, as I was reading and studying, there are possibly tsunamis coming during all this. All this going on. Bill McGuire, the London professor of geophysical and climate hazards, Bill McGuire says this: there can be a tsunami arise at any time on the East Coast and in Britain that does not compare to anything that has been previously seen. This would be triggered by a volcano which would reach waves of 165 feet. There are advantages of living on the water, but this would be one of those that's not during this time. Amen. So the first seal, the first trumpet seal, Revelation 8:7, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Scientist Henry Morse of the Revelation Record says this: it is possible that worldwide volcanic explosions would be normal consequence of a worldwide violent earthquake. The masses of water vapor blown skyward might well condense in the intense updraft into hailstones, and showers of burning lava might well be cast upon the earth. The blood of entrapped men and animals might be mingled with them, or possibly showers of liquid water drops might be so contaminated with the dust and gases as to appear blood red. A third of the vegetation is what we've read here. A third of the vegetation would be gone. And because of the vegetation, it's required for moisture to move around the earth. With vegetation gone, moisture wouldn't move around the earth. That's the first trumpet. Second trumpet, verses 8 and 9 of Revelation 8, then the second angel sounded. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. This describes almost a meteor or an asteroid hitting the earth. Some scientists have already named the meteors that they predict will hit the Earth. These meteors are 1,300 miles wide. It's not a little rock. Can you imagine something come falling out of the sky 1,300 miles wide that can shoot a tidal wave taller than the Empire State Building, move at the speed of a jet, and can wipe out the entire East Coast? The third trumpet, verses 10 and 11. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. The word of God does not lie. If you're wondering where this came from, this was written by God. This wasn't written by man. Burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on springs of water. In other words, it contaminated the water supply. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, which is a poison. Many men died from the water because it was bitter. It was poison. The fourth trumpet, verse 12, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. So there became a cooling effect. Would have to be a cooling effect without the sun, and then the seasons as we know them would no longer be. Verse 13, and I looked and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound." The fifth trumpet, verses 1 through 3 of Revelation 9, the fifth angel sounded. I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. Why are we having such a bad week? Because the devil knows if he can get our attention off of God, get our attention on the circumstances, we could be a part of this. That's what the devil wants for us. Amen? So as I'm reading this, realize that this is Jesus' warning for people because he loves us so much. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Drop into verse 5. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Sixth trumpet, verses 13, 15, and 18. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. Seventh trumpet, verses 15 and 19. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were, I'm going to get to something in a minute to encourage you. Y'all bear with me. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Devastation. Then the last of the three judgments, the bowl judgments. These were like the angels were having a bowl, and each bowl, these seven bowls pouring it out on the earth. Revelation 16, 1 and 2. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God on the earth." So the first went, poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Medicines, if there are medicines, will not be of no good during all of this going on. You say, well, there'll be medicines in the earth, there'll be smart people left. If there are medicines, it will not have an effect on this experience. Second bowl judgment, Revelation 16:3. Then the second angel poured out his bowl of the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea, every living creature in the sea died. Have you ever been around a pond where there's mosquitoes and it's just not flowing or anything? That's a picnic compared to this. Every living creature died. The third bowl, Revelation 16:4-6. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers, springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." The fourth bowl, Revelation 16:8-9. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give God glory. The sun will burn much hotter than we've ever experienced before. The sun will be much hotter. The waters will rise. Sometimes scientists say that during this time, as the sun gets so hot, the waters will rise 200 feet. How many places on earth can survive in 200 feet of water? The fifth bowl, Revelation 16:10-11. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. This is speaking of a solar storm. What I can tell, in 1859, there was a solar storm. And in 1859, they didn't have the electronics that we have these days. I mean, even our cars are electronic. I mean, a lot of them, if a satellite were to go out, our car wouldn't work. So in 1859, they felt the effects of that, but it wasn't anything like we would feel today. As a matter of fact, there was another solar storm in 1989 that cut off the entire Canadian province, it says. But had that happened today, if that were to happen today, can you imagine no life with no electronics? That's no electronics. We think cell phone, but we also think communication, news, everything that we use that requires some sort of power. A solar system hit today, it could wipe out all of electronics, period. The sixth bowl, I'll share something with you in just a moment. The sixth bowl, verses 12-14 and 16 of Revelation 16. Then the sixth angel out of his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. We talked about that. For there are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Verse 16, and they gathered them together to the place called Hebrew Armageddon. You've heard of the Battle of Armageddon. That's what all this is leading up to. And the seventh bowl, the last bowl judgment, verses 17-18. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Then every island fled, and the great mountains were not found. The great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. We're talking 75 to 100 pounds. Each piece of hail fell out of the air was 75 to 100 pounds apiece. That's a hailstorm right there, isn't it? Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. I believe the earth will be formed back to its pre-flood days. There'll be a movement. All the mountains and everything that we know as is will be changed. And all this study and praying and God showing me these signs to come, then Friday, I get several news. I even get some secular news sent to me via email so that I see what secular news is talking about at times. I don't always read it, but this particular one caught my eye on Friday, and it's dated August the 6th. And it's written by a reporter named Jason Hall. He's a secular mainstream reporter. The title of this, published article that he wrote is, "Gulfstream Changes Happening Now Could Be Devastating for Mankind." This is what it said. Climate scientists are concerned after observing warning signs of the collapse of the Gulf Stream, which is among the Earth's main potential tipping points. The Guardian reports, if you've heard of the Guardian reports, that's gets known as the world's leading liberal voice. The Guardian reports the study of currents known by researchers as the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, AMOC, found an almost complete loss of stability over the last century. The report comes after currents have already dropped to their lowest or their slowest point in at least 1,600 years and could be nearing a shutdown, which would lead to catastrophic global consequences. Isn't that something? They're saying what we're reading in the Bible and they don't even know God. It goes on to say that may include disrupting patterns in rain-dependent areas such as India, South America, West Africa, increasing storms and dropping temperatures in Europe, rising sea level off eastern North America, and causing more damage to the Amazon rainforest and Antarctic ice sheets, which are already threatened, the research determined. Scientists noted that the AMOC system's complexity and uncertainty over how global warming will take shape moving forward make it impossible to accurately forecast when a potential collapse could take place. Wonder why Jesus is warning us now. Why are we talking about Revelation? Even the secular news media is talking about the last days and they don't even know it. A potential collapse could take place. However, it is estimated to be possible within a decade at the earliest or several centuries from now. Scientists reiterated that the colossal impact means it must be taken seriously and be stopped long before it happens. The signs of destabilization. Yeah, that could be it. Being visible already is something that I wouldn't have expected and that I find it scary, said Nicholas Bowers from the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research in Germany, who conducted the research via The Guardian. He says this, it's something you just can't allow to happen. The best scientists in the world will continue to spend millions and billions of dollars to not even scratch the surface of what we've just read this morning. The Word of God is true. The world doesn't want to admit that it's true. They're going to do their own research. They're going to come up with a conclusion, and before they find out their findings, this is going to happen. But Jesus is preparing his church for the days ahead. Yes, there will be tribulation. There will be tough weeks. There will be impossible weeks. There will be challenges all along the way. But Jesus is our source. We'll talk more about next week about what's going to happen. What will happen when Jesus comes back? So y'all stick with me through all this. It's good. And then we'll get to some more series about how we can live on this earth. But right now we need to know that there are some things coming. There are some things coming that we need to know. Is this a fun topic for me to talk to you about and every Sunday read you these things out of Revelation? It goes against my grain, but we need to know it anyway because it's in the Word of God. And so we have two choices today. We'll have two choices tomorrow if we're here. and that is to follow Jesus or deny Jesus. And when our time comes, whether we come like we did, like the gentleman on the hospital bed did a few weeks ago, and go to our eternal home before the rapture comes back, we'll also, do we follow Jesus or do we deny Jesus? And if we're here when Jesus comes back, what will determine where we live for eternity, if we follow Jesus or did we deny Jesus? And we know that the devil today is doing all he can to get your attention off of Jesus Christ. That's why we've had a rough week, Deborah. That's why we've had things come at us. Because in John 10:10, this is what it says. Here's another scripture for your refrigerator. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you experiencing some stealing? Are you experiencing some killing and some destroying? Do you feel like you're just having the life sucked right out of you? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they, that's you and I, may have life, not only life, but a good life, that they may have it more abundantly. That's blessed. That's in peace, no matter what we face. And so if our attention are on the works of the devil, we're focused on what all the devil's doing. Oh no, have you heard what's going on? Then we miss Jesus altogether. If we fight and fume and disagree about all these little petty things going on in life, you know what? Our eyes are on that and not on Jesus. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But if our attention is on Jesus and the promise that he made before I started this morning, that he will give us peace even in time of tribulation, if our eyes are on that, then we know that we can overcome anything that we face. And this getting ready and being forever ready for God to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it, that's like we're going on with life, but we're ready. Lord, whatever you want to do. We know that he's doing something. He's putting things together. There's much more going on around us than what our physical eyes can see. In the spirit, God is doing things. And we know that from the Word of God, what he is doing is much greater than what the devil is doing. Yes, what the devil is doing is real, but what God is doing through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, he's doing much greater than what the adversary is doing. Amen? Crawford, come on up. There's one more thing that I want to share with you in John 16:33. I'm going to read this to you again. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, Jesus says, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want to establish in your hearts today that even as we're to get ready for eternity, we're going to be occupying this earth until he comes. And so God wants you successful. He wants you blessed. He wants you encouraged for however many days these are ahead of us. We don't know when that's going to be. But what is part of what the Lord is doing today, he's getting us ready for eternity, but part of what he wants to do is for us to be ready for today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Those things that we will face. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you could do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That's what you can do. That's what I can do. As we face the things that we weren't counting on this past week. My goodness, I was blindsided. Well, you know what? Jesus wasn't. He knew it was coming. And as we're prepared for those things, as we're prepared for Jesus, then when we are blindsided in the physical, we're saying, you know what? I have peace because I'm forever ready for whatever comes my way. Whatever devastation there is, Jesus will make you be ready that you can face anything in this world by the power of Christ. And you know what? Not face it, but overcome it. He's overcome. And so he has set us to where we can overcome also. So I want us to stand together this morning. I want us to stand together. There are some today living in fear. Living in fear of what's going on in our society. Living in fear of what are we going to do if this thing breaks out even more than what it has in the past. You know what? We're not called to live in fear. We're called to live by faith. We are to have wisdom. We ought to have wisdom. There are certain things that we need to do, but not to live in fear. Jesus Christ did not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Amen. To live in faith and to know.